Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to Lehem Panim. As you know, it's been a very challenging time for Paul and his missionary team here in the book of Acts. Paul and Silas have recently been released from prison. They've continued ministry in both Thessalonica and Berea, and they're facing very fierce opposition from the Jewish leaders in Thessalonica, who then come to Berea as well to try to inhibit their ministry. And Paul has been forced, therefore, to flee to Athens, where he's awaiting Silas and Timothy to join him. And so that's where the story of our passage today takes place, in Athens. It says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols." Now the word translated as provoked here is the Greek word paroxysm, meaning sudden, violent emotion. Paul looked at the spiritual lostness of these people who had been deceived and blinded by Satan, and who are trapped within a pagan culture, a pagan system that is without hope, without salvation. And he's filled with this combination of both righteous anger and grief, which, you know, ought to erupt from the heart of any believer when we see either physical or spiritual slavery. I remember having that feeling at times during my visits to countries like China, Singapore, Malaysia, or the Asian supermarket down the street, which they said I don't need a passport for. But honestly, here in the Seattle area, there's a lot of idolatry, as people have come here from all over the world and have brought their idols with them. I mean, it's a very sad thing to see. My family and I, we sometimes go out to Asian restaurants and we see those little golden cats waving at us, and they sometimes have their little shrines set up. And there's often a statue of Buddha to greet us as we walk in and out. I don't know, I feel sad because I know that many of these people trust in these things to save them when they really have no power to save. Some time ago, I read a story of how Hideyoshi, a Japanese warlord who ruled over Japan in the late 1500s, he commissioned this colossal statue of Buddha for a shrine in Kyoto. And it took 50,000 men 5 years to build this colossal statue. But the work had scarcely been completed when the earthquake of 1596 brought the roof of the shrine crashing down and completely obliterated the statue. And in a rage, Hideyoshi, he shot an arrow at the fallen statue. He said, "I put you here at great expense, and you can't even look after your own temple." But you know, that's how useless idols are. And you and I, we're grieved when we see people living in worship of these false gods. And here I think Paul, he feels that similar overwhelming compassion when he sees the idolatry so prevalent here in Athens, where people are worshiping things rather than the Creator, things that have no power to save. And note how he's not just feeling sorry for lost people. No, he's demonstrating biblical compassion, which is always something that moves you into action. If you and I, if we feel concern for our lost loved ones or anybody else that we know who doesn't know Jesus, but we never take action, we never witness, we never take the time to enter into their world, to bring them the light of Christ, then we don't really have biblical compassion on them at all. Compassion, in the biblical sense, is a movement in your soul that translates into a movement of your body. And that's what Paul is demonstrating. He's being compelled into action. It says, "Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there." Now, I'd like to point out that here you have a demonstration of a healthy balance in ministry. You preach the word in church, but then you also carry that word out into the marketplace, into the world. Paul was no doubt at home in the synagogue, but in the marketplace with lost pagans? You know, that was very outside his comfort zone, but that's where the need was. And so that's where he goes. And sometimes when it comes to you and I and our ministry, God may call us out of our comfort zone. He may even call us to another country, another culture. And though we may feel intimidated by that, as with Paul, we can see that great things happen if we're just willing to step out and obey that call. Now, as Paul is engaging with people in the marketplace, it says, then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him. Now, the Epicureans and Stoics, they were the dominant philosophers in Greek culture. The Epicureans, they believed that seeking happiness or pleasure was the primary goal of life, kind of like in our culture. But in contrast to the Epicureans, the Stoics, they placed thinking above feeling, and they tried to live in harmony with nature and reason, suppressing their desire for pleasure. And thus, they were very extremely disciplined. So you have two very polar opposite philosophical groups. And it says, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? Now I find it funny that the word they use to mock Paul is babbler. Where does the word babbler come from? Babel, the place where mankind rebelled against God and God drove them apart by confusing their languages. And early in our study of the book of Acts, we talked about how, in many ways, Pentecost, where every person heard the gospel in their own native tongue, was a picture of mankind's reunification with God in and through the atoning work of Christ, resulting in the outpouring of the presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. How ironic it was that they called Paul, who brought to them this good news, babbler, which was actually the complete opposite of what he was really doing. And let me tell you, people may call you a bigot, intolerant, any plethora of other things, when in fact you are the complete opposite. You're bringing the good news of perfect love, not hate, of salvation and freedom, not anger and condemnation. So, as my mentor used to tell me, have a thick hide and a warm heart. Paul obviously did. Now, while some call him babbler, it says in verse 18, others said he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Look at verse 19 and following. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Now, that last part of the description is not a compliment. These are not people who are just curious about new ideas and who want to grow their understanding. No, these are people who are enslaved to novelty. They are very much like us in our day and age, a people who always think the new is better than the old. The new generation in our day and age, for example, we think the old is foolish, or even worse, evil, which is why our founding fathers have come under such strong attack. And our progressive schools are getting more and more bold, and they're helping to shape their students to think ill of their ancestors and their foolish, evil beliefs. Because after all, they weren't as scientifically sophisticated as we are in our day and age. And so what Satan has done is he's driven between us and our history a wedge of pride and arrogance that makes us incapable of fully understanding both who we are and who we're meant to be. That's what it means to be enslaved to novelty. And the way you break out of that is through committing yourself to humbly examine all the facts. You need to reason through your beliefs. And that's what Paul helps them to do. It says he reasoned with them. Now, this is so important for us to grasp because Paul, he's not just preaching at them with passion and conviction. No, if you're going to convince thinking non-believers, you need more than just passion and conviction. You need to show how the evidence supports what you're saying. And that's what made Paul God's, really his perfect choice for this ministry, because these men of Athens were, despite their slavery to novelty, they were very intelligent, thinking people. Athens was not just a city of magnificent buildings and a plethora of gods. No, it was a center for Greek culture, for philosophy, for education. And so Paul, he's the perfect one to bring these men the good news of Jesus Christ, because he himself was from a city that was considered an educational center, Tarsus. He was a rabbi who had trained under a great rabbi, Gamaliel, the finest scholar of his day, and had therefore spent much of his life thinking and reasoning through the scriptures. But not only did he receive training and knowledge in Jewish philosophy and in the Hebrew scriptures, but he was, as we'll see, also deeply familiar with Gentile works, Gentile poets and philosophers. And so he was kind of the perfect one to help Gentile pagans understand and connect with a Jewish Messiah. And next week we'll see kind of how he does that. But what we need to glean from this passage today is the reminder that you and I, we also need to prepare ourselves to be strong witnesses for Christ. You and I, we need to know our stuff and be ready to give an answer, because the more you and I know about the Bible, what it means, how to apply it to life, the more convincing our words will be. Now, does that mean that we should wait until we feel we know a lot before witnessing? Of course not. We ought to start immediately with what we already know, what we already understand. But at the same time, always seeking to grow our understanding so that our witness will become more and more effective as we're able to answer more and more of people's questions and arguments. It's like it says in 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." And so let us ready and prepare ourselves this week. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.